accepted to talk about the cross-community working group effort, the one on recommendation six, but really to talk about it in the sense of that was a cross-community working group, and it's an example of such a group. And so what does that suggest for the future if we're going to do cross-community efforts that are similar to that? What were some of the challenges? And so it's an opportunity for GAC members to comment on that particular aspect. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Heather. In opening the discussion, I'd like to refer back to the discussion we had earlier with the review group about and the subsequent discussion that came out of that about the and some contributions that the European Commission made to that discussion around the nature of representation by individual GAC members and the way that those representatives have to work within their own administrations, the time that takes and that sort of thing. And in this particular working group suffered from an additional problem. Unlike the one which you've just discussed, the dealing with the working group involved in the CCNSO and the dealing with the redelegation and issues, this one was called together at very short notice. It was working to an extremely tight deadline, and there were no opportunities whatsoever for mature reflection or detailed consultation within my administration, which is fairly slim compared with some around the table. So it's an atypical example, if you will. But I would like to say that in my experience of it was extremely well run. I'll say this again in his presence tomorrow afternoon. Chuck Gomes did a wonderful job of chairing that group, brought some very, very disparate people together, and gave me an insight into the difficulties of working with the very different groups that make up the GNSO, I have to say, and some of the issues they have, which are in their own way as difficult as ones we have to deal with. They also are representatives of constituencies in one sense or another. And, of course, they also have things which perhaps we don't have to the same extent in terms of conflicts of interest and problems as well. So it was an eye-opener for me, but the point I wanted to make was that, first of all, it was working to an extremely tight deadline. There was no opportunity for consultation, but it does represent the sort of very rapid response I fear that ICANN is going to be or ICANN constituencies and groups are going to be required to come up with short-term responses to questions in order to meet deadlines. And I do think that somehow we need to find a way that the GAC can accommodate itself to that working. And I realise the deep contradiction there. I'm not in any way wanting to disagree with what Bill had to say earlier. But we do have to think our way through that. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand, and I do hope you will raise that when we meet with the GNSO. EU Commission, please.
Thank you, and thanks for those comments from New Zealand. I had a question of clarification, actually, that I wonder if New Zealand could help with, because unfortunately I wasn't able to participate in that working group due to due to all the other stuff that we have to do at the GAC and the fact that it fell in the middle of the holiday season in Europe, actually, I think in August. But that's by the by. But I did look at the recommendations when they came out, and I think I got reassurance from the fact that one of the recommendations was that the sporting organisations and the advisory committees, including the GAC, you know, should be asked to comment. And I rather foolishly thought, because that report had been sent to the board, that the board would then ask us for advice in some way. It comes back to the things we've been talking about in the joint working group. And I think, and this is why I'd like clarification, I think the next thing that happened is that the board considered the recommendations without any input actually from the GAC or other bodies. I mean, is that, am I being unfair, Frank, or is that what happened? Because that suggests, if it did, it suggests I misread the situation quite seriously. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Happy to answer that. My view of it always was, and I'm not sure how that recommendation slipped in quite with quite that wording, that this was a report to the board. Quite clearly, it was a cross-constituency working group that was working to an extremely tight deadline to get a report into the board before its retreat. I forget the exact date, but I think it was they met in very early November.
It was in September.
September, yeah, right. It was extremely tight. I mean, basically, the opportunity to work was about 3 weeks. There's certainly no opportunity to refer to those groups prior to the meeting of the board or the board retreat. My view of it was that, being a report to the board, the GAC should take an interest in what the response of the board was to that cross-constituency working group, recognising that the GAC had not input to it as the GAC and had not had an opportunity to comment on it. And given the deadline, I was expecting that there would be a board response to those recommendations, and then the GAC would consider the board's response in the light of the recommendations and form its own opinion. So that was my understanding of the process that was to be followed.
You, Commission?
Yes, thank you. That's very useful, Frank. So that means we're at that stage now where the GAC should consider the recommendations themselves and decide whether we can endorse them or whether we have different views, or is my understanding correct?
Well, we're certainly able to do that if we wish. I would suggest that the actual recommendations of the working group themselves are what they are. They are not a consensus in any sense of the... they weren't even necessarily a full consensus of the working group. Many of them were majority points of view. Some of them had very, very significant dissent within the working group. But they were suggestions put forward in order to overcome a number of issues which the GAC, among others, had raised. I'd point out that the same issues, in fact, had arisen from some parts of the GNSO and some part, particularly of ALAC. In fact, our position was very, very much aligned with ALAC in terms of the concerns that we'd drawn to the board as notice in terms of asking for a cross-constituency working group. So it's not the recommendations themselves, I think, that matter. We can certainly consider those. It is the board response that is the key issue, in my view. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. United Kingdom.
Thanks. I think, Frank, you very helpfully circulated the report to the GAC list. Yeah. That, when was that? Was that... Shortly after it was available to us. So I think one point we ought to bear in mind is, well, what is the purpose of circulating it? I mean, there is the opportunity then for GAC representatives to shout if this was totally off beam and not going in the right direction. I don't recall any response as a result of circulation. I'm not saying that should be a substitute for a full-blown discussion, but I think it's perhaps significant as a commendation of this group's hard work that it didn't ring alarm bells for many of the GAC reps who would have had the opportunity to look at it. So I just throw that in. Suzanne's shaking her head. I don't know if that's in agreement with me or. So anyway, I'll just make that point. Thanks.
Thank you, UK. Now over to the United States to disagree, and then
thank you.
After that, we have New Zealand again and EU Commission.
Well, thank you, Heather. I did want to sort of agree with Frank's assessment, and that is, in fact, a message, Mark, that he included in his email when he circulated the report, that it probably was not for us to comment on the report, which was on its way as he sent it to the board. It was for us to comment on the board's response. So I think we've all been waiting for the board's response as a far more sort of significant position for us to be reacting to. And it does strike me that, you know, maybe this is something else that we need to think about as we plan ahead for the next series of meetings, because I know this is not Max's arena, but it would be useful if we had access to ICANN policy staff to perhaps come in and brief us on where things stand, things like this. You know, where is it in the process? My understanding is that staff has been interacting, I believe, with the working group to follow up with some questions, but it's all still a work in process. So I actually concurred with Frank's assessment, thought that was a very good judgment, and have been sitting back and waiting to see what the board's position would be, and then we could weigh in at that point and give some, that's where the added value would be as to whether that was consistent with GAC advice, because the GAC has actually taken a fairly strong position on the issue of morality and public order and the objection process that was developed around it. So our issue still remains outstanding. Several issues that we've already gone on the record. So we haven't really had, well, no, let me amend that. We haven't seen the board's response to the REC 6 working group, and we have had a bit of a response, not to the totality, some response in the Peter Dengate Thrush letter to the GAC on some of our concerns. So I think that it is still a work in progress, and so I think it is still at play. And then to go to the larger issue, not the substance of that particular working group or the recommendations themselves, but as we prepare for the exchange with the GNSO, I think, Frank, you're probably right. We might want to walk through, just so that the entire membership understands, what the constraints are on government representatives in participating in that kind of an exercise. I did try to keep up, but I confess I found it impossible to keep up with the numbers of emails that were flying back and forth, the number of doodle polls and the number of conference calls, because, again, I'm not in a position to participate in my personal capacity. So whatever intervention I would have made would need to be an official position. But there were a lot of shifting thoughts and shifting sands and a lot of debating going on. I thought the exercise was very constructive and kind of likened it in my mind to what we do sometimes in my agency and sometimes with other agencies is brainstorming, tossing ideas around and trying to find options and suggestions for ways forward. So that is always constructive. And you know, the more minds that you can throw at something, normally the better off you're going to be at the end. But that at some point, if we continue with such working groups, I think that there will continue to be a problem for GAC representatives. Certainly, I can just speak for myself, that I will have a problem meeting those kinds of deadlines with that kind of a format. So if we could explore maybe how to use that approach from a brainstorming perspective without that kind of a short deadline, that could be very useful. So that maybe a first step with the GNSO is to explain what the constraints are, and then to perhaps suggest that we explore using this at an earlier stage in a policy development process, possibly. Thank you.
Thank you, United States. I do know that different parts of the ICANN community reacted differently to the report. For example, the ALAC, subsequent to the finalization of the report, issued a statement on what was contained in the report. In the meantime, the GAC it was apparently waiting for the board response first. What has been happening, and correct me if I'm mistaken, Frank, is that following the board resolution related to this topic, staff has outreached to the working group first to do a call, and on that call to sort of compare notes on how staff understood what was contained in that report and what the working group understood was contained in that report. And there were some areas where there was misunderstanding, and so perhaps improvement can be made on those particular issues. There's also going to be a session tomorrow at 5:30 that's going to be part of a workshop on this topic, and they've invited the various chairs to be on the panel. And as Frank was leading this effort for the GAC, I asked him whether he would participate. So there is going to be a session. It was moved to Monday. It was originally going to be held when the GAC was in session. And so we and other parts of the community asked for it to be held on Monday when more people would be able to attend. So it might be worthwhile going to that session and expressing your views if there's an opportunity there. But okay, so moving on, I have New Zealand and EU Commission.
Yeah, thanks, and I apologize again for coming back there. I think there's just a couple of points I'd like to emphasize that came out of that. One was that ALAC could comment because they actually vote on stuff, and of course the GAC doesn't, and it didn't seem to me to be any possibility at all of getting any sort of consensus view from the GAC in time for that meeting within the constraints of operating. In fact, ALAC had enormous problems doing it, even though they had quite well established processes for making decisions and decisionally. Second point is that it seemed to me, and I'll be making this point tomorrow, and of course it's open to violent, well, hopefully not violent, but perhaps vigorous disagreement on the part of other members of the GAC. But the particular issues that seemed to me that the GAC drew to the board's attention in asking for such a working group to be set up, in fact, were tackled by the working group very constructively. In particular, the responsibility of the board, for example, for its decision making, which could not be opted out of, and the impossibility of having some sort of international jury to make those decisions on behalf of the board, was well and truly canvassed within the session, within that group, and fully accepted by it. In fact, that was one of the strongest supporter recommendations of the group. So it seemed to me that it did look at the issues that the GAC raised. It raised a whole lot of other issues as well because of the nature of the group. And so there's plenty of room for disagreement with some of its recommendations, things like supermajority decisions of the board and a whole host of other, what in my view were red herrings. But I'd just like to comment very quickly on what Suzanne said about the working methods. They were impossible. The sessions were, very, for me, often in the middle of the night, but I have to say that there were some things about the way that it ran that the GAC could pick up on in terms of its intersessional meetings. There were lessons to be learnt from the way that was handled the GAC could benefit from. And I'd like to discuss those at some point with you, Heather, and perhaps with Max, about how we can get that level of support through ICANN for the way that these meetings are conducted. There were some extremely useful online tools, for example, for speaking, that I missed greatly at our last conference call because I didn't get a word in, whereas, in fact, within that working group, I was able to speak as and when I needed to, very simply. So thank you.
Thank you. New Zealand, EU Commission.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for the clarification again. And I forgot to thank Frank, actually, I'm sure on behalf of all of us, for making the effort to participate in that group. You know, it's important that we do have colleagues amongst us actually who are prepared to make that kind of commitment. Like Suzanne, I did actually try following that in the beginning, but I've got a day job, you know. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, my mailbox was just getting full of emails, and I couldn't deal with it at all. I have to say, just in response to the UK's point, actually, that unfortunately, my silence wasn't an indication that I didn't have a problem with the recommendations. It was my misreading, and I apologize for that. I opened the document. It said that the recommendation is that the GAC will have a chance to react to this or comment on it. And I thought, great, I'll do that when we get asked to do it. So I think there's a problem. There was a problem of communication there. But my bigger concern is, and I'm sure that people are going to reassure me that's not true, is that the board may have had the impression that the GAC didn't have any problems with the document or that we'd endorsed it. Now, I'm not saying that I have anything I want to raise here, but it's a question of procedure, actually. And it seemed to me to be a fairly rapid process, and we have a long history of discussion in this committee about confusion and problems with communication. And I think that is my concern now, is that I certainly got confused, and I'm an experienced GAC member, actually, and I've seen most of the ways we worked, and that one threw me, actually. So we need to be careful, I think, and have a bit of discipline about these kind of things. Perhaps, if necessary, making it clear to the board that the GAC didn't endorse those recommendations. Just perhaps a stupid question. Frank, you said that we should, and I'm happy to go along with this because this sounds very sensible, but we should now concentrate on the response of the board to the recommendations. What was the response of the board? Is the problem that there hasn't been one, or there hasn't been one? Okay, just for clarity, that's. I'm sorry, I'm not following this terribly well. I've been focusing on other issues, but that's the situation. Is it that there hasn't been a response?
Yes, actually, Heather's probably in a better position to answer this than I am, since she actually attends the board meetings. My impression is that what we've had back is a load of cobblers, frankly, to coin a phrase. For those who need a translation, there are less complimentary words that sort of rhyme with rubbish that could be applied to the board response so far.
Thank you, New Zealand. It's quite possible that the board would describe its response in terms of the tasking to staff to go back to the working group and try to establish or improve understanding on some of the issues so that more from the report could be integrated into the applicant guidebook. So that may be what they tell you if asked. And another point that I think is useful that relates to discussions we've had already here is the fact about the bylaws, that a cross-community working group doesn't exist within the bylaws. And so the board, I think, understands quite clearly that in this particular case that it didn't have that standing, and I don't believe the board at all considered it to be with the endorsement of the GAC. In fact, it was, I think, made clear that it didn't, it couldn't. If that's helpful. And I have a request from Italy for the floor, and yeah, the UK, and Brazil. And then if we can, let's move maybe to talk about new GTLDs and what we would like to raise with the GNSO. I think that's probably the other major issue that we would like to address with them. Okay, so Italy.
So if we are going to mention this working group report, we should take note of this very useful exercise, and thanks and thank the GAC members that gave their contribution, because to endorse I think is not something that we are able to evaluate. In any case, I'm saying only this, that it took to me the time of running 2,000 miles in the Atlantic Ocean in the plane to read and to appreciate a lot. There is an enormous amount of information that is very interesting. At the end, this study is leaving open different options. And so it's not something that is giving specific advice what to do to the board, and so the board, as you say, will perhaps give to the staff and instruct the staff to try to reach some proposal among the different options. So in the end, it was really interesting to see the report, and I'm among all also those that didn't read the hundreds of thousands of mails that were transmitted to the GAC list last month. Thank you.
Thank you, Italy, UK.
Thanks, Jia. Just coming back to my point about document being on the GAC list. I mean, I took part in some of the, a mere fraction of the time actually that Frank really put in. I did take part in a few of the working groups' calls. It was very difficult and unsocial hours and long hours. They were very long calls, but that was a reflection of how rich the exchanges were. But my point is, you know, especially for for people who have been involved in something an important initiative like this, and then their silence on the GAC list, I thought was a bit disappointing. If you have a reaction to something, why not put it on the GAC list? Because that then does generate awareness and triggers useful exchanges and so on. So that was the only point I was making. And in terms of, if there was something completely wrong with the approach, then an alarm bell could be rung. That's the only point I was trying to make. Really, thanks.
Thank you, UK, Brazil.
Just a clarification, in order to see if I'm misreading the document, but. When we ask ourselves whether it's clear or not to the board that we need further discussion on that, and I want to remember the your letter, Heather, from November 22, and when we state that the GAC will be interested in board's views of the recommendations contained in the report of the group, the cross-constituency group, and that the GAC believes it's necessary that further discussion and development of string review process to and so on, we need further discussion on that. So I believe this would be part of the discussions we will have with the board today, and the further discussion do we expect to have. I think it's clear the message that we need extra time in order to react to the report. Just a clarification. Thanks.
When we meet with the board later this week, we meet with the GNSO this afternoon, but in terms of setting the agenda for the board, it's certainly something we can put on, and we are anticipating as part of our communication regarding new DTLDs this week, drafting something as a working group, which I can remind you meets tomorrow from 11 to 12. And if we're going to detail remaining issues and so on, then it seems quite appropriate to include a reference to that issue and what the GAC expects or seeking clarification from the board on that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it will also be part of the job tomorrow we have in the drafting exercise. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's
okay. All right. So that's that issue. With the GNSO, I suspect we do want to raise with them new GTLDs. We may get asked for our view regarding the final draft applicant guidebook. And we can draw on comments already made when we discussed this yesterday And I can leave it to colleagues to jump in that discussion with the GNSO. Is there anything particular that GAC members would like to identify now in preparation for that? Alternatively, we can just do it at the meeting and have a quick break before they arrive at 5 o'clock. I see nodding from one of the smokers in the group around that. EU Commission.
Yeah, sorry. I hesitate to take the microphone again, but can we reverse that question and ask them whether they're happy, actually, with DAG 5? Because, of course, they made the policy, but this is being implemented by the staff, and it's a diverse community, GNSO. I'd be interested to know what their views are on the current draft applicant guidebook. Thank you. In other words, give them the work, actually, instead of us having to do it all. Thank you.
Fine. Okay. Let's ask them. All right. So are we agreed that those are our two main topics, United States?
And apologies to take time away from everybody's break, including my own. But I wonder, this may not be the right meeting to do it, but at some point we might want to alert the GNSO to some of the suggestions and proposals we are considering in light of the Joint Working Group report and the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, this issue of how is it you would get GAC input earlier on in a policy development process, and just maybe put that out there that we might benefit from a further exchange on that very issue. How would they respond to a change in the bylaws that would sort of suggest that they would need to tell the board how they took our views into account, for example? And we may get a resounding negative response that would suggest that that might not be a good way forward. I mean, something along those lines. And again, with only an hour, we may not have it that kind of time, but I just wanted to flag that as a possible future subject. Thank you.
Yeah, we could certainly just flag that this afternoon and let them know that this is what we're going to be looking at as part of the Joint Working Group. So, all right. So the GNSO will be here at 4 o'clock. And so let's have... Oh, 5 o'clock. Thank you, Jayantha. It's the end of the day. All right. So 5 o'clock. Please be back in the room. See you then. Thanks.